Good morning, and welcome to our third session on My Kinsman Redeemer. I trust you've enjoyed this and have been blessed by it, and it causes your faith to rise as much as mine has as I've prepared it. I am certain that today we will see more, that we'll just do that more and more. Now, as we look at this today, I want to encourage you to ask the Holy Spirit, and I'll pray that just momentarily, to reveal to you yourself in this account, so that you can see your relationship with the Father as it's illustrated in the accounts we're about to read today. So, Father, we do thank you for your word, this bread of life that we're partaking. And today we ask you, by means of the Holy Spirit, to reveal to us the depths of your love, your provision, your protection, and all the things we're going to see to us. Holy Spirit, do your work. You be the teacher of us today as we declare our hearts is good ground, and the word sown will produce a harvest in our lives. And it's in that precious name of Jesus we pray. Amen and amen. All right, we looked last week at verse 6 through the end of the chapter in chapter 1 as we talked about provision in the house of bread. Now, we'd seen about the famine in the land and what all happened to the Naomi and her sons, and the condition that Naomi and the wives were left in. But then in verse 6, we saw that God visited his people, and he did it by providing food or for them. Now, that word visited didn't mean he just showed up and left. It meant he attended to, he watched over, and it also means to have attention paid to you. And that is important that we see ourselves that same way. And then we saw a blessing spoken over her sons' wives after their death, as they stayed with her and tried to help her. And look what she said. May the Yahweh, the name of the Lord I am, deal kindly to you. And how would he do that? By showing his own covenant love and covenant kindness to them. And you're going to see much more of that today. You're going to see that blessing begin to produce results. So then we saw one of the wives returned to her homeland, to her people, and to her God. She did not let that blessing take root and take work in her. Yet Naomi did. And it did begin to work. Boy, did it begin to work. Ruth references in saying that she's going to stay there with Naomi, Elohim, the Lord's name, twice as she commits herself to her, saying, I'm not going to leave you. I'm going to go, and everything that you have and are will become part of me. And then she talks about how she binds herself to the Lord himself by using the name Yahweh. So she's fulfilling covenant relationship, covenant hesed to Naomi as she deals kindly with her, tender with her, loves on her. And this is an act that is most favored by the Lord. And that's how he wants us to view him in our lives. Then in verse 19, they return and Naomi's recognized, and it created a great stir in Bethlehem as they came back. And I'm sure it stirred it up even more that she brought a Moabite woman. Remember, an enemy, one who could have been looked at as with some racial negativity. But yet you're going to see how she's welcomed into that land because of the covenant love she showed, one of God's covenant people. Isn't that what he told Abraham? I'm going to bless those who bless you. And boy, was she ever blessed. So Naomi had recognized God's goodness in coming to visit his people and providing bread. But when she gets here, she said, don't call me Naomi. Call me bitter or sorrow, bitter waters, really, Mara. And in doing so, she's not really being correct, because she says, I came back empty, but she didn't. She had a covenant partner with her. And that is so, so important. There are people that the Lord will join you and I with today. And there is a brother who sticks closer than a blood brother will, Scripture tells us. And that is certainly true in this case. So when they came to Bethlehem, it was the time of the barley harvest. And we're going to be talking about that in first fruits today if we have time. It comes after the Passover, which is what? A time that the people of Israel were redeemed. So there's the word we're going to be using over and over again, from Egypt. And then in verse chapter 2, we read the first three verses, and there we saw that Boaz was just, the name was introduced. The writer just puts in here a comment about it. And you're going to see today, and I think I said last week Naomi may have talked to Ruth about it, but if she did, she didn't say much about it, just that he was a prosperous guy. And then we saw that even though they were there in Bethlehem and gladly accepted, they still had a need for food, as Ruth expressed an interest in what? Going and gleaning in the fields and believing and desiring to find favor. And she certainly did. Do we expect that favor to be shown to us today? That's a question for you and I to answer ourselves. And then what happened? She went and gleaned, but she came to the part of the field. Then they told her this field belonged to Boaz. So she happened upon it, the word says, or it just so happened, or it was just my luck that day. No, no, and no. Even the scripture says, by chance, her chance chanced by the field. But what do we know? This is the covenant blessing at work from the hand of the Lord. And more manifestations of that were to occur. Now, we need to remember that Ruth may not have perceived this blessing flowing like this, because during this time she had been in a period of time of spiritual decline, as was really the whole nation of Israel. So today, let's begin to talk about our Goel, G-O-E-L, revealed. The Goel who is revealed here. And again, you're going to see yourself in this as the Redeemer, our Redeemer, shows himself to you in these verses. So in Ruth chapter 2, we're going to pick up and go hopefully from 4 to the very end of the chapter. So in verse 4, Boaz shows up. So now he's just returning back from first fruits, and he shows up here in the barley harvest, in the middle of the barley harvest, in Bethlehem. And look at what he says to his workers, reapers, there. And you're going to see when he talks about his reapers or his servants, the word that is being used is a Hebrew word, which really means a young lad. So we're seeing something about how he views these people. It's revealing his age, his maturity also to them. So he comes and he says to them, "The Lord, Yahweh, be with you." He blesses them. And they turn right around and say, "The Lord bless you." Wouldn't it be great to go to work and have a supervisor that you come in and says, "Minton, bless you today. The Lord bless you today." And Houston said, "The Lord bless you also. May he be with you." Wouldn't that be great? Well, that's something we ought to begin to pray about and expect, because it shows us that this is how relationships in the workplace, the Lord would like them to go. And when they do, everybody prospers in that. And then verse 5, then Boaz says to his servant, same word about young, who was in charge of the reapers, "Whose young woman is this?" Now that sounds a little disrespectful, but it's not. He's really saying in this, who is this woman married to, or what family is she from? That's the inference in there. He's also, by calling her young, showing again his age, but he's doing it in a very tender way, even though we in our society today may not think of it as that way. You're going to see her called some other words that are even more tender in just a moment. And so in verses 6 and 7, the servant says back to him, "It is the young Moabite woman who came with Naomi from the country of Moab. And she, Ruth, said to me, 'Please let me glean and gather after the reapers amongst the sheaves.' So she came and has continued from morning until now." In other words, she worked all day almost. And then it says she rested a little. This is hard work. 7 or 8 steps in this process, from initially cutting with a sickle these barley plants, these barley rods, with the pods on them, and then they would have to take them to the winnowing floor. They would bind them up, take them to the threshing floor, and do their winnowing process to separate the good from the bad, gather up the good, bag it, And then they had to go in. Finally, the last step was to destroy the things that weren't good. And they would do this with big bonfires and celebrations. And you know, that speaks to me of how we need to, if we do a job thoroughly, if we allow this house to be renovated, we ought to take all that old and have a celebration when it's burned. Get that old chaff out of ourselves. So here she is, a foreigner and a widow, and she's coming to glean. Now, she still had a legal right, as we talked about last week, to glean. And she's about to go above and beyond. But I want to just want you to see that in these verses in 6 and 7, she says, "Let me just glean and gather after the reapers amongst the sheaves." Now, she's not saying, "I'm going to pick up things that were left by accident, or if you leave a sheath there, I'm not going to go take it away. I just want to get the basics that I need." And yet, you're fixing to see her be blessed beyond that so much. Does that remind you of some verses in the New Testament? I would hope it does, because we certainly are promised abundance in many verses in the New Testament as the Lord provides for us. And today, I believe it's important that we start to increase in believing in that. For who knows, the days may be upon us in the coming years where we depend more on the Lord than we do just taking our money and going in and buy groceries. No fear. That's just the times we lived in. And we are so blessed to be in these times to where we can bring in the biggest harvest that this earth has ever seen. Now, verses 8 and 9. And this is going to be a pivotal day for Ruth. It's not just by chance. Again, it's God's timing at work and how we need to look at the Lord to orchestrate our lives the same way. And if something bad happens, to restore whatever may have been taken away. So listen to what he says here in verse 8. Boaz to Ruth, "You will listen, my daughter." So now he's referring to her even more tenderly. Again, as a daughter, so he's reflecting a generation or more age difference there with her. And then he continues and says, "Do not glean in another field, nor go from here, but stay close by my young men. Let your eyes be on the field which they reap, and go after them. Have I not commanded the young men not to touch you? And when you're thirsty, go to the vessels and drink from what the young men have drawn." Wow, a load of faith-building words in there. "Listen, my daughter, a respectful greeting. The Lord refers to you and I, what? As sons and daughters." So again, I want you to begin to see Boaz as a type of our Lord Jesus in this today. So he gives this respectful greeting because he has a legal right to, because Ruth married one of Naomi's sons, and by marriage, Naomi became a kinswoman, and I use that term purposefully, to him. So great respect. Now, what is he saying in this? He's saying that, and you see this word, we'll see some other words used, sister, daughter. These words are used over and over in here. So it's all got this family connotation. So he's beginning to see her as part of his family, or maybe better said, as part of his responsibility as a covenant partner. And so all this is being revealed as he's talking to Ruth. So it's just chesed that we're beginning to see. Let me remind you that we see these terms used in other scriptures. In fact, let me read you Song of Solomon. Look with me. Fourth chapter, verses 8, 9, and 10. And you'll see these words used in a very tender way by who? The groom, concerning his bride. And we just need to remember that as the bride of Christ when you're reading this, as Jesus talking to us. "You have made my heart beat faster, my sister, my bride. You've made my heart beat faster with a single glance of your eyes, with a single strand of your necklace. How beautiful is your love, my sister, my bride." And then it finishes out by talking about how much better is your love than wine, and gives some examples. So in these verses, we see this tender reference to women as sister, as daughter, as really having a connotation of bringing you into the family as part of my responsibility. Now look at the instructions that are also given in 8 and 9. Don't go glean in another field. And he says that after he says, now listen to me. What's he saying to her? Let's look at this from a parallel of what it's a type of for you and I. Stay in my fields. Don't glean. So the don't glean, basically, I think is saying, don't go anywhere else to gather food. I'm your provider, as we know the Lord is for us. Stay in my fields. I think about as under the wings, as we're told. In fact, you'll see that in a moment. He also has said here that he's commanded the young men not to touch her so that she should have no fear. And as we talked last week, she was very courageous to go out because being a foreign woman who could have been looked at with a racial slur or racial bias, it could have been dangerous for her. Yet he's saying what here? I'm your protection. And then he talks about follow behind the reapers, or he's going to say that in a moment, but that's what he's saying. Where they reap, you go after them. And so you're going to see more provision coming to her by what he tells those young men to do. Now remember, she was very reserved in what she said she was going to do. I'm not going to glean except what I pick up. I'm not going to do some of the other things that were legal to get me more. Such strong character. But the last thing she says, I think, is very important. The word is, I think, referenced here too in the water. When thirsty, go and drink the water that my servants bring. I think about Jesus at the woman of the well saying, the water that I'm going to give you, you won't thirst. And she said, give me that water. But you just see in every place him taking responsibility for her. And then in verse 10, she falls on her face, bows down to the ground and says to him, showing respect, bowing or prostrating herself as a lesser to a greater. Now, does that make you think of covenant too? The way our covenant is? Why have I found favor in your eyes? Now, I believe the more correct rendering is reflected in actually New American Standard and some other, and I'm reading from New King James today. She says, I have found favor in your eyes. Why is that since you take notice? Why do you take notice of me since I'm a foreigner? She knows that she's different, yet she knows she's being treated without any difference impacting it. Now, who was Boaz a type of? It's a type of Jesus, and that's the way he is viewing us. Now, in verses 11 and 12, really what she's saying is what we tend to say today. Why are you doing this for me, Lord? I'm not worthy. That's in effect the message she was conveying to him. But look in verse 11 at what he says. Boaz answered and said to her, it has been fully reported, fully reported. I think that's important. The Lord knows everything that we've done, and he knows our heart on it. All that you have done for your mother-in-law since the death of your husband, and how you have left your father and your mother in the land of your birth, and have come to a people who you did not know before. So she not only came to a people that she had known before, but she came to a Lord that was just about to explode in revelation to her as to who he is and the love he has for his covenant people. Then he speaks a blessing over her in verse 12. The Lord repay your work, and a full reward be given to you by the Lord God of Israel. So he speaks another blessing over her, said not only repay you, but give you a full reward. I think about Jesus talking to those that he gave talents and gifts to and saying what? Saying, well done. Enter into the reward of your master. So this full reward is coming, and you're going to see for a Gentile woman coming in, one of two in Scripture, she was blessed beyond what you would ever expect. And then in verse 12, it concludes by saying, under whose wings you have come for refuge. So what did he tell her earlier? I've instructed my men not to touch you. He even tells them later, don't even correct her if she gets something that you wouldn't expect her to. And so what is he saying here? He's saying, I'm going to be your protection. But another blessing, another visual for you and I to see of the Lord's shelter to us, Psalm 91 personified, we might say. And does the Lord provide shelter to all who seek him? And the answer we know is yes. Verse 13, Ruth replies, and she says, let me find favor in your sight. Again, she's saying, I have found favor in your sight, for you have comforted me and have spoken kindly to your maidservant, though I'm not like one of your maidservants. So she's still noticing she's different. She's still questioning this worthiness, yet she's noting that she has found favor with him. And look at his reply. Now Boaz said to her at mealtime. Okay, let's stop. So she said this to him, and then obviously she went back out in the fields and worked and gleaned. And then he's talking about here at mealtime. So at mealtime, when everybody comes back, he's doing what? He's inviting her now to partake with them at their meal. And he says to her, come here, eat of the bread, and dip your piece of bread in the vinegar. Now, for vinegar, I might say cheap wine. That's really what he's talking about. Now, let's just pause there. Does that have a type or a representative of a covenant meal that you and I participate in today? It certainly does. The communion meal, the covenant meal that the Lord instituted. Oh, my goodness. Here he is inviting her in respect and acknowledging her as a covenant partner in this relationship. So she sat beside the reapers. And also, take notice, he served her here. She sat beside the reapers, and he passed parched grain, in other words, grain that had been cooked, to her, and she ate, and she was satisfied. But it didn't stop there, did it? She got more than she needed, and she kept some back. Now remember that, because you're going to see that referenced, this that she kept back. You're going to see it referenced as not being just greedy that I might not get some more, but she kept it for another. So Boaz served her. Now verse 15. And when she rose up to go to glean, Boaz commanded his young men, and look at what he tells them. Let her glean even amongst the sheaves, those bundles of barley stalks that you tie up. If she wants to get some extra, let her do it. And do not reproach or rebuke her. Verse 16, and let grain from the bundles fall purposefully for her. Leave it that she may glean, and do not rebuke her. So here we see extra provision, protection over what normal gleaning would be. And isn't this just like us today? An abundance for every good work, exceedingly above and beyond the kindness that he shows to us. So, you know, I would just encourage you to think right now that our covenant is sealed by the blood of Jesus. How much greater is this new or better covenant than even what she was going for? And she is just increasing. Now, I want to pause, and I want to just talk a minute about Passover and first fruits. Now, Passover comes before first fruits, and Passover had been completed. And what does that represent? The time when the children of Israel were redeemed. They were redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. What were we redeemed by? The blood of Jesus. And so on the day of resurrection in Jerusalem, Jesus became, and this all occurred during Passover, what Paul describes in 1 Corinthians with this. He describes Jesus as being the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep, the firstborn from the dead, in other words. And so first fruits became a biblical festival celebrating the first harvest, and it was the second of only three pilgrimages that they had to make. So Boaz has just returned from this. But what does this agricultural celebration seemingly have to do with the resurrection of Jesus or this account of Ruth? Well, you know that first things in your life are important. You can remember your first car. I can remember my first date with my wife like it was yesterday. Those things are special to us, and they're also special to God. Let me show you. So you're going to see first fruits has just got lots of significant meaning. In Exodus 4:22, listen to this. God calls Israel his firstborn son. And as his firstborn son, they were commanded to honor their God by bringing the best of the first fruits of the soil to the house of the Lord your God. That's in Exodus 29:13. So this is where he told them to do it. And so this is perhaps the most obvious meaning of first fruits, is in giving back the best that we've been given by the Lord as an honor to him, and really a declaration of faith that more is coming. And that's a key phrase. When we offer our gifts to the Lord, when we give him of our money to him, of our financial, we're saying not only you've blessed me with this, but you're saying, and I'm giving it because I know there's more that will come. You're going to take care of me. So Paul is saying in this scripture that Jesus, that God gave his very best for us, and that Jesus is the first of the harvest that is about to come. And so how appropriate then that we see Ruth in this lineage. So build that with you. Now, let me just give this thought to you. When they celebrated waving those sheaves, and they had a prayer that they would recount, decreeing or showing the importance of what they were doing, saying, this is the best and we're giving thanks for it. But they're also implying, as I just said, that the rest of the harvest would be just as good as the first of the sheaves they gathered, which is what they were waving and offering there. Do you realize that's talking about you and I? Jesus as the first fruits, honoring God for that as we honor him, and we're saying the rest of the harvest is just as important and just as productive. And you love it, love us just as much as you do Jesus. Again, hesed, loving kindness being shown, the heart of God toward Naomi, the heart of God as Ruth is determining herself, and equally more for you and I. Now let's go to verse 19 and we'll begin to wrap this up. So in let me do 17 and 18 first. She gleaned in the field until evening and beat out what she had gleaned, and it was about an ephah of barley. Now that is referenced as a bushel, but really it's probably a little less than a bushel. It is a significant amount. Verse 18, then she took it up and went into the city, and her mother-in-law saw what she had gleaned. So Naomi saw it. So she brought out and gave to her. Remember I said, remember this about what she had kept back? She gave to her what she had kept back after she had been satisfied. So the abundance was used to do what? To satisfy someone else. Now verse 19 then says, and her mother-in-law said to her, where have you gleaned today and where did you work? And then she blesses, blessed be the one who took notice of you. So she told her mother-in-law with whom she had worked, and she said, the man's name with whom I work today is Boaz. Now, put yourself in Naomi's position. She didn't tell her to go to that field. She didn't even tell her where to go. But Ruth said, I'm going somewhere that I might find favor. So she had a confession of that. And did she ever find favor? Do you think that her test just hearing that Boaz was where she gleaned, her kinsman, remember she was a kinswoman of Boaz, caused hope to arise in her heart that it's going to be good with us. Things are about to change. I think it did. Look at what Naomi said to Ruth. Blessed be he of the Lord. So she's speaking a blessing, referring to the covenant blessing of Yahweh, who has not forsaken the kindness to the living and the dead. So the blessing of the Lord has impacted Boaz, and she's saying he's doing it as of the Lord to both the living and the dead. And now we know that what's going to happen. When Jesus returns to gather up all of us who have become first fruit, we're going to be caught up in the air with him. If people have gone to the grave, they're going to be called up before us. So she is just seeing the faithfulness of the Lord to everyone who has believed in him. And Naomi said to us, and this is the key, this man is a relation of ours, one of our close relatives. So here we're seeing that God's not forgotten us. He's been faithful to us. He's faithful through us, using men in this case. And have you ever thought of how Jesus had to depend on the Father's faithfulness as he gave up his life to raise him back up? The one who is faithful had to depend on the faithful Father. But then this phrase, he is one of our closest relatives, or some translations say close relative. This is the Hebrew word G-A, a space A-L. It's a root word meaning to redeem, but it has a connotation of it that you're redeeming based on a family law of kinship. Thus, what is implied by this is the term kinsman redeemer, one who was a member of the family, became a member of the family, is what's implied. And he was this, Boaz was this Goel for Naomi and Ruth. And he is revealed to us in this scripture. Now, we'll see this in a summary session we'll have, but also, do you see here Jesus? He gave up his position in heaven to come and be a kinsman redeemer for us. He became what? A flesh and blood, living person, living man, so that he could identify with us and therefore be our kinsman redeemer. And this is what you're going to see displayed in the final two chapters. Verse 21, Ruth the Moabitess said, he also said to me, you shall stay close by my young men until they have finished all my harvest. In other words, I'm not just going to give you a little bit and send you out and say, find your own. I've got you. I'm taking you. I'm showing covenant responsibility to you. And Naomi said to Ruth, her daughter-in-law, it is good, my daughter, that you go out with his young women and that people do not meet you in any other field. In other words, she's saying, don't go anywhere else, lest harm come to you. It concludes by saying, so she, Ruth, stayed close by the young women of Boaz to glean until the end of the barley and the wheat harvest. Now, the wheat harvest would start after the barley harvest was complete just because of how it grew. It took longer. And she dwelt with her mother-in-law. So she was going gleaning every day, providing all that Ruth and Naomi needed as Ruth gleaned in the fields. She had a guarantee of safety near him, under his wing. Don't go to the others. I'm protecting you. Stay away from there. Who instructs us in this? Well, the Word will, but who reveals it to us and who tells us these things is the Holy Spirit. He'll show us those things that we need to do. So she stayed under his protection until the very end of the barley harvest. But can I tell you that the work was not yet totally complete then? And you're going to see that in these next verses that we come. She stayed until the job was completed fully. Now, I want to read you one verse in chapter 3. Naomi says here to Ruth, "My daughter, shall I not seek security for you that it may be well with you?" She is saying here that through Boaz, I'm going to seek security for you so it may be well with you. Who is she showing the most concern for? Herself or Ruth? Again, Boaz as a type, Ruth as a type for us. And this is where we're going to pick up next week as we talk in depth about kinsman redeemer. And you just think about your Jesus every time we say those words, my kinsman redeemer, my Lord Jesus. Bless you. We'll see you again next week. I look forward to being with you again.